G'day, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Annie. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. It's very exciting to have you on the show, especially since your show is all around yes, no, a comedy lecture. Why you asked the question, why the hell Australians are so frightened of referenda?
Yes. Well, we've only had 44 of them since Federation, and of them we've only said yes to constitutional change 8 times, which is a really, really bad success rate, right? Like, I think I worked it out. Australian governments have a 1 in 17 chance of successfully getting a referendum up. I don't want to bum everybody out who's listening this morning, but I think everybody knows that in Australia we really suck at changing our constitution, and the show is trying to sort of tease out exactly why that might be the case.
Well, of course, there's the practicalities, which is that everybody in the country, every state, has to get a majority, and, you know, that seems to be problematic.
Yes, this is the double majority requirement that the founders very kindly put into the referendum in section 128, where we're changing the constitution. Majority vote across the country, and 4 out of the 6 states have to vote yes in order for the change to go through. We've had about 5 referenda where the popular vote was successful. That is, majority of Australians voted yes to a reform, but because it didn't meet the state requirement, it was shot down. And I think the craziest one is in 1977, there was a change about simultaneous elections, the idea that you had the Senate and the House having elections around a similar time. That was the general vibe of the reform. And 62% of Australians voted yes to that, but only 3 out of the 6 states voted yes, so it got shot down.
That's just unbelievable.
That stings. That's not democratic, right? And it's like a really deliberate strategy put in by the founders and the writers of the Constitution initially to protect the rights of the smaller colonies who would then become states, so that there wouldn't be changing to the Constitution left, right and centre. But I think today we can look at that and go, that's pretty silly. And actually, I did the math. You could get 100% of voters in Queensland, Victoria and New South Wales. You could get 100% of both the territories, of all the voters there, 49% in Tasmania, South Australia and WA. So that represents about 15 million voters could all say yes to a proposal. But if 51% of WA, South Australia and Tasmania vote no, then it's not going to happen.
Oh.
And I think that sucks. Sucks big time. That's
yeah, it does.
My position.
Yeah, yeah. So all that education, year 11 legal studies and graduation from... but no, not even graduating law at university has allowed you to see this.
Yes, I studied year 11 legal studies. I did very well, thank you for asking. And then I studied law at Monash University for 6 weeks and then I dropped out. But I've been on Wikipedia and I've listened to half a podcast and I've got some really funny pictures. And I've put together a show that, you know, is very juvenile. There's some dick jokes, of course, for everybody to enjoy. But I've also tried to actually run people through the history of all the referenda change that was shot down and trying to explore why that's the case. And also, I guess, looking ahead to, what is it, 2 weeks? 2 weeks, 2 weeks today when we're going to have this big referendum on the voice to Parliament, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I must say that it's pretty worrisome, the... poison that has been promoted through this. Actually, there's a equally unreal, unbalanced thing that's going on with Murdoch Media. 74% of their messages are supporting the no vote. As someone's pointed out to me, the percentage of people as polled that have no preference appear to be like 27%.
Oh, sure, yes. I mean, the way that this binary choice is presented to us, of course, means that, yes, if you have someone from the yes side on your media program, chances are you are required or feel an obligation to have someone represent the no case as well. And particularly when we know, based on the polling out there, particularly the First Nations people, that there's overwhelming support for the First Nations voice. That's also not representative. Of course, there is a progressive no vote within the First Nations community too, so that gets a little bit messy. But yeah, I mean, throughout the history of all these changes, the idea of changing the constitution has been presented as this terrible thing, like this really, really serious thing, and the way the No campaign can fight against the change is to just terrify people about it, right? Is to sow doubt. I mean, this slogan of if you don't know, vote no, has been used many, many times for various referenda. This is not a new thing that's been invented in 2023. This idea of terrifying people about the prospect of change and the consequences of changing things, which is ridiculous, right? Like, we should be able to change our founding document. That's the whole point of a democracy. And, yeah, I'm going to say it. The guys in 1890s didn't have all the answers and, in fact, were quite racist and were members of the ruling class and didn't know everything and don't have all the solutions for us in Australia in 2023. So being able to change that thing would actually be super handy.
Yeah, well, actually, that's the focus of your show, really, isn't it? That people have got a morbid attitude towards change.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a general scepticism towards government being able to do anything or being able to change anything, really. And from a First Nations perspective, you can absolutely appreciate that, right? Like, I'm voting yes in the referenda. That's my personal position. I'm pretty critical of what the voice might be, and I think it's kind of limited. And, you know, I think to get true justice for First Nations people in this country, we are absolutely going to have a treaty. But, you know, I completely understand why a lot of First Nations people look at a new body after all the failed and broken promises in this country since colonization, really, and sort of say, I don't believe this is going to be a thing that's going to seriously change my life. But I just haven't been convinced by the progressive no case to say that if we vote no, that that's going to lead to anything better myself. That's my personal opinion. But yeah, across the board, media, conservative forces, always trying to terrify people into the idea of changing anything, even if it's something as simple as giving the Commonwealth government the power to legislate over a certain area of society, which would make total sense, like aviation or rents and prices, or giving them the power to, you know, legislate on industrial relations, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
those are the kind of reforms to increase social democracy over the 20th century that have been regularly shot down in flames.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I've actually done historical study of that period of white Australian history. One of the massive positives of white Australian history, which is, you know, one of the few positives of white Australian history, is that it's so short. So it's so it's possible to actually encapsulate it. And that particular conference of people in order to get the Constitution was such a ragtag lot of people. And if people look at the Constitution, it's only several pages long. It's not very long. And the reason for why it's so short is because they couldn't get them to agree on anything. It's hilarious.
It's very limited.
Yeah, that's why it was so limited.
Right. Yes, and also perhaps the conservative nature of a bunch of those figures. I think Sir Samuel Griffiths was like the big head honcho drafting guy, and he was much more inclined to follow the British example. Some other people, the more Republican folks, were much more interested in the U.S. Constitution and tried to get that in there.
I'll tell you something else. People may not realise this, but at that period of westernised history, world history, Australia was a standout. You had the American Constitution and the Australian Constitution, and that was it.
Oh, as in like no other countries had written constitutions
by
that point?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
like we were out there, you know. It's a funny idea, but it's true.
Yeah, I can't believe that that England doesn't even have, they didn't bother to write all that stuff down. They're just vibing it. They're like a waiter at a restaurant just who says they can remember your order, but they haven't actually written anything down. It's very strange.
Yeah, have you done this show? Is this a new show?
It's new for this year. I did two instances of it in Melbourne during the Comedy Festival back in March, April. And I really loved doing it. I thought it was, you know, semi not important. Important sounds too grandiose. But I just really wanted to tour it more before the actual referenda. And so I've updated it. I've included a few weirder moments from the actual campaign that we've seen over the past couple of months.
Pretty weird ones.
From Shaquille O'Neal to appearing with Albanese to Cabal, saying no and then yes and then no, to the wild stuff we've been hearing from Jacinta Namajimba-Price and this kind of the bizarreness of the no case.
Yes, the idea that thank God Philip arrived or they wouldn't have had any food or water.
Yes, yes. Famously, for 60,000 years, Aboriginal people had no food or water. They were very peckish and really parched when the cook rocked up, apparently. I mean, good Lord. It's remarkable, right? And that is what I find particularly scary. Like, if you looked at the polling and this kind of structural disadvantage, you would have to say that it's more likely than not that the yes vote will not get up. And I am really worried about what that will do to empowering, the racist right and those kind of ideas, this rejection of the recognition of our actual history in this country and what that means. It's kind of disturbing. Anyway, it's a very funny show and everyone should come along.
That's right. Well, that's your specialty, isn't it? Making unpalatable things very funny.
I hope so. If I can't do that, then it's just a real bummer of an evening. But there are very funny pictures, and hopefully, people can laugh and learn at the same time, and they'll have a good night out at the Fringe.
Yeah. It was pointed out to me that you actually have personal skin in the game, really. You and your partner are a walking tribute to how people can get along if they actually try.
Powers of reconciliation, yes. Well, Gary Johns, who's a former Labour MP who's in the No campaign, he reckons that we don't need a voice because intermarrying between First Nations and non-First Nations people is proof that reconciliation has been achieved because, of course, people in marriages never have any arguments or any problems with each other. But, yes, my boyfriend is a Waka Waka man, and that's been really interesting. I mean, yes, he's an amazing person. I've learned a lot about his relationship to First Nations culture and his family history. I do roast him a little bit in the show in that I asked him, what do you think of The Voice, a few months ago? And he said, oh, are they still making that show? So he hasn't fully engaged.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I think it's a really funny idea. You turn on the TV and you sometimes see these people shouting out their lungs, and you sort of think, oh, goodness me, it's The Voice and The Voice.
Yeah, they really hate the Madden brothers, I guess. Yeah, that's the way it goes. But he's read more since then, and we'll make an informed decision on October the 14th. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, thanks very much for talking to me this morning.
Thanks so much, Annie. Pleasure to talk to you. Cheers.
Cheers.